This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Grounded in the truthfulness of Holy Scripture, entrusted with the gospel. Get more information at teds.edu. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. My guest today on the Gospel Coalition podcast is Andrew Irwin. He and his brother John Irwin directed the new movie Woodlawn, which releases October 16th, starring Sean Astin, Nick Bishop, John Voight, Sherry Shepherd, and newcomer Caleb Castile. It tells the true story of the football team at Woodlawn High School in Birmingham, Alabama, following federally mandated school integration. This is Irwin Brothers' third major film, following the 2011 drama October Baby and 2014 family comedy Mom's Night Out. Andrew lives in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks for joining me, Andrew.
It's a thrill to be here and a thrill to be a part of what this day represents with the movie coming out.
Well, let's talk about a little bit of this context here. Describe Birmingham in the early 1970s, both in terms of race and religion.
Yeah. I think what was going on in the Birmingham area at the time was about 10 years removed from a lot of the civil rights riots and different things like that, a lot of the unrest, the retaliation to the Freedom Riders, the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, and a lot of the violence that had happened in Birmingham happened about 10 years prior to the story that we're telling. Towards the end of the 60s, mid to end of the 60s, integration had taken place, and the desegregation of schools had happened. As the decade ended, the numbers were much more heavily slided towards the white community in these integrated schools, especially in Woodlawn High School. There was only about six students initially, but towards the early 70s, the numbers began to even out a little bit more, and so violence broke out of those schools as there began a power struggle. The FBI wanted to shut down the school, and it was just, it had gotten really, really tense. And so that's the context for the story that we're telling. And at the same time, nationally, there was a movement called the Jesus Movement happening. It was a revival that started a couple different places around the country and kind of culminated in Expo 72 with 100,000 kids getting together to celebrate Jesus at the Cotton Bowl. And those students were challenged to go out to impact colleges and high school campuses. And so that's kind of the backstory for Woodlawn.
Excellent. Well, without too many spoilers, tell us the true story behind the movie Woodlawn.
Well, it's a story that I heard as a bedtime story growing up because my dad was involved. He worked for a prominent evangelist here in Birmingham named Wells Goebel. Wells would go in and preach to these teams, and then he'd have these young guys and girls that he would send in as chaplains to help continue the movement forward. And so my dad was assigned to Woodlawn High School. He was just out of college, out of Troy University. But Wales went in one day and decided to preach to this team, and 44 of the 48 kids came to Christ that night. And when that happened, then my dad was sent in to kind of continue that movement forward, and he challenged a young kid named Tony Nathan that if he gave his life and all his talent to Christ, that he would be a superstar one day. And Tony came out of that. The team rallied around him. Healing began to happen in the school so much so that it transformed the coach's life. And then that spread from their school to their rivals and led to the greatest high school football game in the history of Southeast at Legion Field. 40,000 people in the stands and 20,000 in the parking lot.
Well, how did God use, talk a little bit about how God used sports as a means of healing and reconciliation in a place like Birmingham that was so torn? I know one of those things, because we don't live very far from here either, Bull Connor, the infamous police commissioner, went to Woodlawn United Methodist Church at that time, lived in that Crestwood neighborhood right near there. Wow. So, you know, how does God use sports?
You know, I think that sports became a device. You know, I think that, you know, as Christians, one of our mentors, Pastor Harry Reeder, has said that the message we hold is sacred to Christianity, but the mechanism can change, and the mechanism is something that you take advantage of to proclaim the message. And so, for this time, it was sports. I feel like where it combines with our current reality is our new mechanism is movies, and the church is able to embrace that and say this is a way to subversively get the gospel out to the culture. But I think in the early 70s and with the Jesus movement, sports became a really great outlet for reaching people that had a platform to proclaim the gospel. And I think the school of Woodlawn was really struggling for hope, and they found hope in Jesus Christ, and they found that on the football field. And it made a huge statement, so much so that if you ask anybody in the city of Birmingham where they were in 1974 for the big Woodlawn Banks game, they can tell you exactly, and can tell you about all the banners that said one way.
Wow. Well, what's different for you about making a film based on a true story?
You know, I think it's a challenge. Number one, because the filmmaking is a different discipline than writing a book. You can't be as exhaustive. Yeah. So as a result, you might have 400 pages of a book to tell a story. With a movie, you have, about 100 pages. So you have to condense history into a two-hour window. So what we tried to do is we wanted to honor exactly what happened. We interviewed as many eyewitnesses as we could to get perspectives. It's kind of like, the only way to find out what really happened is to triangulate everybody's point of view. And we did that and tried to get a baseline of this is what actually happened. And then we said, how can we condense that into a two-hour window? So I feel that we did that well, and we had to kind of combine characters and do a lot of things to kind of make it make sense. But showing it to the people that actually lived it, especially the football team and a lot of the people that walked through it, they said this is exactly how it felt. Mm. And you captured the supernatural power of the Jesus movement and how it affected this school. And I think we honored the real people that were involved in it.
What was the hardest aspect of making this movie compared to your earlier productions?
I think the scale. I mean, bringing the 70s to life and making it feel authentic and making, a story this epic feel, relatable and personal. I definitely think you can get lost in all the big stuff and forget the stuff that really matters, and that's the human connection and the story of redemption. And so we tried to really, make a movie that we said, this movie, if we do it right, should work without the football, and if the story is well told. And I think we achieved that. But then on top of that, we brought all of our background from working with ESPN, and we told the football on an epic scale as icing on the cake. And I think you get a very entertaining story that has a bold message, and that's something that's it's a bit new to see that happen. So I think we were trying to really think outside the box, and we knew that we had to go bold, and so we surrounded ourselves with pastors and said God never works without the local church. And so our goal is not to get people out of the church and into the theater. Our goal is to go reach the lost in the theater and then to plug them into the local church and let the church do what it does. Mm-hmm. So we consulted a large, broad spectrum of pastors from local churches and said, guys, we don't want to get this wrong. Please advise us, guide us, help us know how to tell this story. And I think as a result, you see something that has a lot of spiritual impact. And I think it's because of the godly men and women that were involved in making the film.
It's been fun to be in Birmingham throughout the production process. A lot of my friends, there's extras in the film. You guys filmed at the church building where we meet for one of the climactic scenes at Redeemer Community Church there in the Avondale neighborhood, which is adjacent to Woodlawn. We're here at a really cool event where Briarwood Presbyterian Church mentioned Pastor Harry Reeder, who's one of our council members at the Gospel Coalition, helping make it possible for a screening for the entire, actually present-day Woodlawn High School to come in and see it. What are you hoping that God does even on this day and as the movie goes national, international?
I think this represents the beginning. I mean, I think for it to start at Woodlawn High School in the beginning of our story and to start today for the national release here with the Woodlawn High School watching it, I think is a beautiful way that the story kind of collides both past and present. And I think I attribute that a lot to Briarwood Church and Pastor Reeder. Is he caught a vision early on and said, guys, I want to be a part of what this is. And as we were sitting with him after watching the film, he said, how can we maximize the impact? Briarwood wants to be a part of this. And I think he set the tone for other pastors that have done the same and said, we want to start by sponsoring the entire high school, Woodlawn High School, to come see this film first. And then he challenged the other pastors to step up to the plate. So we're seeing teams sponsored all around the country by churches of sponsoring local high school football teams to go see this as a unit, as a team, hoping that God does with each of these teams what he did with the initial Woodlawn High School. So I hope that it's the beginning to spark a revival in sports again, and to see God move as he hasn't, you know, moved in 40 years.
Oh, Andrew Irwin is director, along with his brother John, of the new movie Woodlawn, in national release. Thank you for talking with me.
It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.